Well, praise the Lord. Folks, y'all ready to jump into this today? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord. We just thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for your loving kindness towards us. Lord, you love us just because that's what you want to do. It's not because we're good. It's not because we've done good things. It's just because you want to love us. We thank you for that love. It's expressed to us this morning through this message. And so, Father, I pray anointing. I pray, Father, that it would go forth with a power, that it would go forth, Lord God, with a weight upon each of our lives, Lord God. That we will feel the heaviness of this word, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, folks, I've come to a conclusion, and this morning I want to kind of share the sad reality of the conclusion that I've come to with you all. I've come to a conclusion that I'm just a pretty conservative person. Whenever I was young, I used to have a wild streak. Some of you all can probably identify with that. I did a lot of crazy things, and I've got scars, and I've got things in my body that will tell you I did a lot of weird, crazy things. I had a lot more guts than I used to have. No, I had a lot more guts than I have now. I've gotten very conservative. I'll be honest with you. A lot of the daring part of me has just evaporated. I don't know where it's gone. I'm not exactly sure why it's gone. I'm not exactly sure when it all took place, but man, I'm 56 years old, and I've woken up to the reality that I'm just conservative. I'm just going to tell you what's daring in my life anymore, man. For me to try a new recipe, that's pretty daring. Come on. For me to actually go buy gas at a different filling station than I normally buy gas at, that's daring. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, man. I mean, is anybody else there besides me? I don't know if there came a day in my life where I decided, hey, I need to stay alive for my kids. I need to stay alive for my grandkids. I don't know. Something happened in me. There was a switch that was switched off, and I'm just very conservative anymore. I drive the speed limit. I mean, I drive slower than the speed. I drive faster every once in a while, but I'm just telling you, I'm just conservative. I look both ways when I pull out into an intersection two or three times. I'm conservative. I'm just conservative. It's been so long since I spun my tires, I just don't even know what it feels like anymore. I'm conservative. Just not very daring anymore. I told you it was a sad reality. Most of you are looking at me and going, and he's our pastor. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. It's a story of Abraham. This is kind of right in the middle of how God has called him out. Abraham has gone out, and now some things have transpired in his life. So this is Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. He hasn't got a name change yet. Came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one is born in my house, is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now this morning I kind of want to fill in, because this is just one little passage of scripture taken out of the life and times of Abram. In chapter 14, let me tell you what's happened. Lot, his little sniveling, snot-nosed nephew, has got himself all in trouble. Some people have come in and taken Lot, his family, his valuables, everything. Some kings all kind of allied together, and they've marched off with Lot, which is Abram's nephew, Abram's brother's son. And Abram, he rounds up all of his men, and he goes after these folks that have captured Lot. Now, it's a successful raid, if you would, on the folks that have captured Lot. He got Lot back and all of Lot's people and all Lot's money, and he got it all back. Abram comes to the rescue. But at the end of chapter 14, there's this little interaction that takes place from a guy he's called Melchizedek. And he's the king of Salem. And he basically goes out, he meets Abram, and he speaks a blessing over Abram's life. Now listen to this blessing. It says, "And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of God Most High.'" Man, I want to tell you something. That's a good blessing. Blessed be of God. He didn't say blessed be of the United States of America. He didn't say blessed be of Walmart. He said blessed be of God. If you guys want to be blessed, let me tell you who you need to go after to bless you. And that's God. Amen? So he says, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So he speaks this blessing over Abraham. Now, folks, the thing you got to understand is Abraham is already blessed beyond belief. I mean, let me tell you how blessed he is. I wrote it down here. I mean, he's really, 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 really. See, I wrote it down. Abraham is blessed already. I'm telling you, folks, whenever he went after these guys that had hauled off Lot, he took 300 of his own trained servants. No, let me rephrase that. He took 318 of his own trained servants. These are people that were born in his household. Do y'all realize how many people he had on the payroll? Are y'all with me? I know a guy that had a payroll one time. He said it was like 215 people. And he said that it cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars every month to make payroll. And then I decided, that's why I don't have anybody on my payroll. Y'all with me? Abraham had this amazing family. He had this amazing entourage, if you would. This household that exists, 318 of his trained men went after him. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? Abram was blessed. I'm telling you, he was rich beyond belief. He had cattle, he had oxen, he had all of these animals that God had blessed him with. He was blessed. And now Melchizedek actually speaks another blessing on him. So in other words, Abraham, you're blessed, 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 and I'm going to bless you some more. Wow. He was blessed. I need to make this point clear to you. Abraham was blessed. Now all these things had taken place. He's got Lot's family, Lot's possessions all back. Melchizedek had spoken a blessing over him. And then in chapter 15, which we read, verse number 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" Now, Abraham here, he gets another encounter with God. And God says, "Listen, Abram, I'm your shield." I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I'm going to choose a shield out there to protect my wife, my family, myself, I'm going to choose God to be my shield. Amen? So God says, "Abram, I'm your shield." How many people do you think Abram lost in going after these folks and taking back Lot? He didn't lose anybody because God is his shield. Are you with me? He defeated a foe that had more numbers than he did, but he defeated him because why? God is his shield. So he says, "Abram, I'm your shield." And then he goes and he says, "I'm your exceedingly great reward." Let me read it out of another version. It says, "Afterwards, Jehovah spoke to Abram in a vision, and this is what he told him. He said, 'Don't be fearful, Abram, for I will defend you, and I will give you great blessings.'" And I'm just thinking to myself, Abram has already had great blessings. He's already got great blessings. He's got 318 guys in his family that he trained, and they went out. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? He's got a payroll now that's millions of dollars. He's got goats and camels and sheep and oxen and monkeys and maybe not monkeys, but I was just seeing if you were awake. He's blessed. And God says, I'm going to bless you even more. And so, you know, if you're Abraham, it's kind of like this. You should be saying, yeah, good. Yeah. I'm going to be blessed. I am blessed. I'm going to be blessed more. I mean, wouldn't that be where most of us are at? But that's not the way Abraham, that's not what happened here. You see, Abraham should have been, oh, this is really good. But look at what it says in verse 2. It says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? See, Abraham was blessed. He was blessed. There was the promise of more blessing, but there was still something lacking in his life. Something very important to him was lacking in his life. And this was it. There was no heir for all of the blessing Abraham had. Are y'all with me? There was no heir. You see, let me just explain to you this. In today's economy you and I live in, it's not a big thing whether or not we have an heir or we don't have an heir. Are y'all with me? I mean, man, it's just not a big deal. If you don't have an heir, you just give it to the government. Are y'all with me? Come on. But I want to tell you, it wasn't that way in the day and time that Abram lived. In the day and time that Abram lived, it was exceedingly important to have an heir, that you could bequeath all of the what you own to them. It was exceedingly important. And so whenever a woman was she could not have a child, it was a horrible thing. And that's where Abram found himself. He found himself without an heir. He found himself without something that was very, very important to him. All the blessing that God had poured out on his life, on his family, that wasn't enough. He says, God, he says, what are you going to give me, seeing I'm childless? I don't even have anybody to bequeath what it is you're going to bless me with. All that he had was actually promised to someone that was born in his household. Eliezer of Damascus was just a servant in his household. And so Abram only had that individual to pass all that he owned to him. Abram says, look, God, you haven't given me any offspring. The one that was born in my house, he's going to be the heir to everything I have. So, what's next in this story? After God says, I'm going to bless you, I'm your shield, I'm going to defend you, and I'm going to give you great blessings. And then after Abram kind of bows up and complains a little bit, he says, you know, God, why are you going to bless me with all this? I don't even have anybody to give it to. This guy that's in my house, he's not even my son. I'm going to pass it on to him. So what's next in this story is exceedingly important to what you and I got to get a hold of today. In verse number 4, it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying. So now here's Abraham saying, man, I don't even have an heir. I don't even have a child. I've got all this blessing, and you promised to bless me more. Melchizedek spoke a blessing over me. You have spoken a blessing over me. I'm blessed. I got cattle. I got sheep. I got all of these things, and I have nobody to give it to. And the very next line says, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham, and this is what it said. What was that word of the Lord? This one shall not be your heir. This one being Eliezer. He says, hey, he's not going to be your heir. See, now, right there, Abraham's mind is probably going, like going, okay, well, who else can I? I got to choose somebody else. He says, this one's not going to be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Let me just tell you something. This morning, folks, we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about believing God for the words that he speaks over our life. And one of the things that you and I got to do, if we're going to get a miracle from God, the first thing you and I got to do is get a word from God. We've got to get his word. We got to get what it is that he says about us. He says what he says he wants to do in our life, how he wants to bless us, how he wants to heal us, how he wants to raise us up. We've got to get a hold of that word. And Abraham's life, that's what it says. The word of the Lord came to him saying, and this is what it said. It said, Abraham, Eliezer is not going to be your heir. One that comes from your own body is going to be your heir. Now, whenever he said Eliezer is not going to be your heir, remember Abraham's mind was probably going, I'm telling you, whenever he said one that comes from your own body is going to be your heir, all of a sudden Abraham's mind began to smoke. Abraham goes, Sarah and I have been childless for a long time. Sarah's body has already gone through the change of life. There's no more opportunity in Sarah's body to produce a child. And just to make the point a little clearer, God takes Abraham outside the tent. It's in the middle of the night. It's a clear desert night. And he says, Abram, look up at the sky. And he says, I want you to count the stars. Abraham's mind again is, it's in flames already. I can't count the stars. And God gives him this illustration. He says, if you are able to number those stars, he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Ay, Chihuahua, that's a lot of people. Because what I've found out is there's actually a lot of stars up there. And let me tell you something. Whenever God says your descendants are going to be as the number of the stars in heaven, he's not fudging. Are y'all there? He's not fudging. Abraham's descendants are going to be perpetual. They're going to be forever. He said, Abraham, look up. Count them if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have. You remember Abraham's mind? Whenever he said, Eliezer, it's not going to be your heir. Whenever he says, one that comes from your own body is going to be your heir. Burst into flames. Then whenever he said that's going to be, your descendants are going to be as the stars are in the heavens. Folks, you got to understand, Abram's brain is now. Did everybody get that? Can I do it again? Because that was fun. And so now you got to look at Abram's response to what it is God just told him. He said, the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord. I mean, let me just tell you what that's kind of like to me, because the Bible here makes it really short and sweet, doesn't it? He says, look up. If you could count those stars, if you're able, that's how many descendants you're going to have right there. A child that's going to come from your own body, your heir, that's how many descendants you're going to have right there. And the Bible, the very next breath out of God's voice is this. And he believed in the Lord. It's just a matter of fact thing. God says, hey, it's going to be this many. You're not going to give it to Eliezer. You're going to give it to your own child, one that comes out of your own body. And it's just like Abraham goes, yep, okay, done. Done deal. Great. Yes. Oh, woo. Get me a son. Woo. See, once you've gotten a word, once you find a word for what it is that you're going to believe God for, the next step is you got to believe that word. You got to believe it. And see, I got to tell you, for Abram, it was probably pretty easy to believe. I kind of alluded a minute ago, but, you know, just think about this. Abram and Sarah, right in the middle of their best childbearing years, whenever God spoke this to them. Obviously, you know that's not true. As I said earlier, her body had already gone through the change. And so they're not in the middle of the childbearing years. You know, as medical science is concerned, this is an impossibility. And so it's not like God asked them to believe something that was easy. You know, I think that's what we oftentimes do with our own faith, is we just want to believe God for something easy. you know, God, I need my finances touched, but I'm going to tell you, I think you're going to do it through Wells Fargo Bank. They're going to give me a loan, low interest, only 19.99% compounded minutely. Are y'all with me? Folks, I want to tell you how God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He wants to bless you. He doesn't want to bless you through Wells Fargo Bank. Are y'all with me this morning? He wants to bless you in a way that absolutely blows your mind up. Where you go, my goodness, in a million years I couldn't have dreamed this, but yet God has delivered it into my hands. Let me tell you, the only way you're ever going to be able to make that statement is if you get a word from God and then you believe that word from God. Abram and Sarah, their bodies were in a place where there was no child to ever be born to them. It was not something easy that they could believe. Secondly, God says, your descendants are going to be as the stars are in the heaven. Are you again with me? That's something else that's not easy to believe. God took me out in the prairies of New Mexico and says, look up, Watson, your descendants are going to be like the stars. I'd go, get out of town. The crazy thing about Abram is, though, that you and I are descendants of Father Abraham. Come on. I don't have one drop of Jewish blood in me that I know of. But I'll tell you this, I got a transfusion back on February the 4th, 1980. I got an infusion of the blood of Abraham in my veins through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a descendant of Abraham. My children are a descendant of Abraham. There's a lot of descendants of Abraham, and they're going to keep until one day, indeed, the number of the stars will equal the number of Abraham's descendants. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It would have been so incredibly hard for Abraham to just go, I believe it. This thing that Abraham believed in the natural was impossible. It's just impossible. You know, Abraham is, his life and times are written about not only in Genesis, but other places in the Bible. Abraham was an amazing guy. Let me read that scripture to you again. And he believed in the Lord. Simple. Abram, you're going to have a child. It's going to come out of your own body. Your descendants are going to be as many as the stars are in the heaven. And he goes, I believe. It just seems that a matter of fact to me. It doesn't seem like, you know, there was months or weeks in the between. You know, I don't think Abraham went away and goes, you know, I've got to think about this for a while. I mean, how could this happen? It's just like, I believe it. Okay, Lord, I'm going to have me a son. I'm going to have me a genuine heir to this incredible blessing you poured out on me. As I said, the life and times of Abraham are written about in other places. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, this is what it says. And this is, again, speaking of Abraham. And it was written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's him. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. God calls things that do not exist. He says they exist. In the life and times of Abram, he's out there looking up at the stars. And I'm going to just tell you something. There was not even one heir to Abraham at that moment. But God is saying to Abraham, he's saying, hey, even though it doesn't exist, I'm going to tell you it does exist. Now, are y'all confused as I am sometimes? God is saying, hey, Abraham, that boy Isaac that's going to be born to you, he doesn't exist yet, but he does exist. It says he calls those things that are not as though they are. That's God. And Abraham, that's what he got a hold of. He got a hold of this idea that God is calling this child, these descendants, even though they're not even born yet, God is saying, yeah, they're born. Let me read it to you out of the message. This really gives you a good idea. This is Romans 4:17. It says, we call Abraham the father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many people. Abram was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead with a word, made something out of nothing. Abraham dared. That's what it says here. He dared to trust God to do what only God could do. God can raise the dead and he can make something out of nothing. So whenever you read that scripture, you got to say, man, what does this mean? What does it mean? Why did Abraham do this thing? He believed God. The word of the Lord came to him and he just said, yeah, I believe it. Abraham dared to believe God. Now, folks, I got to tell you, I've become very conservative. Trying new recipes, that's about the extent of the farthest I want to go out there into that daring lifestyle that so many people live. I want to tell you something. I have no desire whatsoever to bungee jump. I have no desire whatsoever to parachute out of a perfectly good plane. Now, I'm telling you, if it's on its way down, engines are out, pilots are gone, I'm telling you, I would probably parachute. Or I would just say, take me home, sweet Jesus. Are y'all there? Because I just don't know if I could actually jump out of that airplane. I'm just not that daring. But you and I, as believers in the Most High God, you and I got to begin to be people who dare to believe God. We got to become more daring whenever it comes to this word. We got to hear this word, get a hold of it, and then we got to say, man, that word is my word. Because that's what it was to Abraham. Abraham got a word that was his word. So I looked up the word dare, daring, dared. I looked them all up because Abram dared to believe God. And it says dare. It says to challenge, to perform an action, especially as proof of courage. I like that. In other words, if you're going to dare to believe God, you're going to have to be a little bit courageous. I told you, I'm real conservative. I'm not very courageous. Some of y'all are looking at me like, the most courageous thing he does is try new recipes? Well, if some recipes you have to be pretty courageous to try. Somebody told me they wanted me to try a new recipe they had whenever we first moved to Montana. And I know I'm going to probably make some of y'all mad, but that's just fine. This is food that you should never feed a human being. They said, we're going to bring you over a rhubarb pie. I said, okay. And they brought us over a rhubarb pie. And I mean, it looked beautiful on the outside. I mean, it was all crusted, you know, nice, baked and whatnot. We cut it. And whenever I looked inside there, I'm telling you, those little rhubarbs had turned into boogers. I'm telling you. That's what it was. It was boogers. I'm telling you, there is no way you can put enough sugar on that rhubarb to make it edible. Some of y'all out there, oh, I love rhubarb pie. Well, go ahead, but I don't. I just don't want to eat a sugared up booger. But as it comes to recipes, sometimes you have to be a little daring. But I'm telling you, whenever it comes to the Word of God, you always have to be daring. It's not going to come to you easy. It's not going to be something that just fits all inside your little mindset, all inside your little lifestyle, and just say, you know, I could believe for that. What you and I need to understand is, man, he is going to challenge us with his power and his might and his miracle-working capabilities. And we got to be people who will dare. There has to be some proof of our courage. Synonyms to daring is this: bold, audacious, intrepid, venturesome, fearless, brave, unafraid. That's what you and I got to become if we're going to be people who see the Word of God worked out in our lives. It seemed an impossibility at his age that he should become the father of a child. It looked absolutely incredible. It looked like there is no way that it could happen. And so, the Word of the Lord came to Abram. It says, Eliezer, he's not going to be your heir.
you're going to have a child out of your own body, and you're going to have more descendants than these stars. He's got that word. And now he believed God. Are y'all here? He has believed God. He said, okay, I believe it. I'm going to get me a kid. But how many of y'all know that sometimes it's, you can say at this altar up here today, I believe God. But by the time you get home, you may not be believing God. Or tomorrow, whenever it hits you slap smack in the middle of the face, you're going, man, yesterday was a wash. Because today my husband's acting like he's always been acting. And this marriage is going on a downhill trolley car. I don't know if there's any way that this marriage can be saved. Are y'all with me? Tomorrow you wake up and that thing you've been praying for in your physical body, it has awoken from the dead. And you got, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. And yesterday you were standing up here at the altar saying, man, I got me a word from God. It says that I am going to be healed by the stripes that Jesus took on his back. I'm standing on that word. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it's hard to believe tomorrow after you've gotten a word today. After you believed that word that you got today, it's hard to believe tomorrow. And I got to tell you something. Abraham wasn't some kind of special guy. He was just a regular guy, just like you and I. He made a lot of mistakes in his life, and the Bible puts them down there for all of us to read about. And God knew that about Abraham. He knew. He said, man, you could mess up. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Abram. I'm going to give you a way that you can hang on to this word that I've given you. Because I've given you this word, you're going to be father of much inheritance here. Your descendants are going to be as the stars in heaven. And so God does this cool thing to him. He changes his name. He goes, your name was Abram, and now your name is going to be Abraham. You guys got it? And Abraham basically means this, the father of many. The father of many. I mean, that would take some getting used to. I mean, you got Tom back here. What if we changed his name to Robert? It'd take him some getting used to. He'd go into the bank, sign in a check, and he'd be putting, oh man, my name's not Tom anymore, it's Robert. What if we changed Rick's name to Mary? I mean, it would take some getting used to. Whenever Joyce goes out into the yard and he's mowing, she says, Mary, time to eat. Y'all with me? Now see, making those two name changes doesn't make any sense. But you see, whenever God changed Abram's name to Abraham, it made perfect sense. Because what he wanted Abraham to hear it over and over and over, what it was that he was going to have. He was going to have an heir that came out of his own body, and his descendants are going to be even more numerous than the stars are in the heaven. Are y'all with me? And so every time Sarah went out, and Abram's got that lawnmower going out there mowing the grass. I mean, man, he's got the weed eater going. And she says, Abraham, it's time for lunch. He hears, father of many, it's time for lunch. Every time he's introduced. If Abraham met what's your name again? You've been gone from church so long. Oh, yeah, Preston. If he met Preston, he was in Florida with his grandmother. I have to give him. But if he met Preston, you see what happened. Preston goes, what's your name? And Abraham would say, my name is Abraham. See, Abraham would be saying it, and he'd be hearing it. He'd be saying, I am the father of many. That's who I am. I am the father of many. There's something very significant to this name change. You see, we've got to come into agreement with the way God sees things. We've got to come into agreement with what God says. God had given Abraham a word. He changes his name to be the father of many. And all of a sudden, every time Abram said his own name, he's coming into agreement with the way God does things, the way God with what it is God says. So let me just tell you this. If we need healing in our bodies, we got to start calling ourselves healed. Come on, get that in you. If we need wisdom, we've got to begin to call ourselves wise. If we need God to prosper us, we need to call ourselves prosperous. Come on. I mean, one of the things that I believe is evaporating in this good old land of the United States of America is the peace that you and I used to live in. I mean, for heaven's sake, man, on the 4th of July, they had 17 million cops and the National Guard and everything out patrolling these fireworks displays because they thought it could be a possible place a terrorist would attack. I'm going to tell you something. If I was in New York City, I'm not sure if I'd load up my kids, my family, and take them down to the old 4th of July celebration. Some knucklehead in a semi-truck tried to run us over. Some guy comes in with a gun. Are y'all with me? I'm just thinking, man, I'll go out into New Mexico mountains somewhere and shoot me off a firework. Probably ain't no terrorists where I could go. Y'all, see, our peace is something that's just not there anymore. We have no peace when it comes to the safety of our communities, our nation. We have no peace when it comes to our finances. Man, tomorrow the stock market could crash and we could all go into another great depression here in the United States. And our food, we wouldn't have any food, we wouldn't have any gas, we wouldn't have any electricity, we wouldn't have any. Our peace. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you want peace, you got to start calling yourself peaceful. Jesus is the one that said it. He said, man, my peace I give to you. My peace. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus doesn't get wound up about terrorists. Come on. He doesn't get wound up about depressions. Are y'all there? There was a great famine in the land one time, and God chose to feed his servant with birds. They brought in food for him every day. I mean, one day the bird flew in and had a big old huge tamale in his mouth. Next bird came in, had some hot sauce to dip it in. Oh, man, that was good. You see, if you need peace, if you need prosperity, if you need to be happily married, you got to be talking to yourself and saying, I am happily married. You go, but wait a minute, Pastor. I'm not prosperous. I'm not peaceful. I'm not blessed. I'm not healed. My marriage stinks. Abraham didn't have a kid yet either. And he didn't have descendants that numbered like the stars are in the heaven. Are y'all there? But nevertheless, he started calling himself the father of many. You see, we have to have a faith to believe and to assert what it is God said. Because God said, Abram, you're going to be a father. And out of that fatherhood, you're going to become the father of many nations. Shh. It's kind of like this. I told you I'm real conservative. But this morning, let's just for a moment pretend that I'm standing on a cliff that's about 500 feet tall, straight off. You can find one on the Beartooth Pass coming out of the Yellowstone Park into Montana. As you come into Red Lodge, Montana, there are some cliffs there that are just, they're scary. There's no guardrail on the road either. And whenever I'd get a little too close, Renee would let me know. I was about 7 miles from it, but she was screaming anyway. Let's just say I'm standing on one of those cliffs. This is what you do in faith. You just take a step. I don't want to fall, but you just take a step off that cliff. And you believe there's going to be a stone there for your foot to land on. But you go, but wait a minute, Pastor. There's not a stone there now. I've been trying to tell you, Romans 4:17 says he calls those things that are not as they are. They are because God said they would be. There wasn't a child in Abraham's little nursery, but God said there was going to be. You see,
we've got to believe. We've got to take those steps of faith off into the void, and we have to understand that God is going to create a rock beneath our feet. We got to be people who only begin to say that we have what it is that God says we have. And whenever we say what it is that God says we have, if we say we have it, He'll make good on that promise. Are y'all with me? I am blessed. I am healed. I am prosperous. I have a happy marriage. My marriage is full of unity, and my marriage is full of love. My husband acts like he needs to act. My wife acts like she needs. Are y'all with me? You're not going to have it if you don't say you have it, because that's not the way faith works. You guys got to understand, this got to be real faith. All there is in you, you've got to go after this. You've got to have acts of faith. You've got to be willing to say, Jesus Christ, I step out and I believe. And you take that first step off of that seeming there's nothing under you, and you've got to believe that God's going to have a stone there waiting on your foot. We got to be willing to live by believing. To live by believing. We got to be willing to live by believing. I mean, the Bible tells us, the just shall live by faith. We've got to be people who live by believing. We can't think, we can't desire, we cannot live any other way. Though humanly, there was no hope of ever having a child, this old patriarch, Abram, he believed God's word against all hope. Abraham hoped, Abraham believed, and God honored his faith, and he became the father, he became the ancestor of many nations. This was in accord with God's promises. You know what Isaac became? Isaac became the child of promise. That was his nickname. Whenever a company would come over to Abraham and Sarah's house, and little Isaac would be back there in his crib just sleeping, all snuggled up in his huggies. Abraham and Sarah would say, hey, you guys want to see the child of promise? Jesus was that too, but Isaac was a child of promise. They'd take him back there, take their company in there, peek in that little cradle there. Oh, Isaac was just being all sleepy and quiet like all good babies are. That's our child of promise. Whenever Isaac was growing up into an adolescent and a teenager and growing up and into adulthood, he was still the child of promise. Abraham would look as now Isaac's out there on the lawnmower and the weed eater because he's old enough. Abraham's sitting under the tent drinking some sweet tea. And him and Sarah just finished watching Judge Judy. And they go, look at that, man. Sarah, that's our child of promise. Abram became the father of many nations in accord with God's promise. And we are Abraham's descendants today. We number in that number because it was God's promise. I want to read Matthew chapter 14, just a little snippet out of it. And this is one of those scriptures that sometimes I think we really miss a whole lot because we can read the last part of it. But this is Jesus that came walking on the water to his disciples, which were out in the middle of the Lake Gennesaret or Lake Galilee. And verse number 27 is where I want to pick up. Matthew 14:27. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Because see, he's scared the liver out of them because he comes walking across the water. And his disciples are just scared spitless. And he says, hey, calm down, guys. It's me. Don't be afraid. And now Peter, he says, he answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Y'all see what Peter's doing? He says, hey, Jesus, this is really you. Tell me to come to you on the water.
Jesus is out there walking on the water. Are y'all with me? He's walking on top of the water. It is a bona fide miracle, man. He's not sinking. He doesn't have some funky shoes on. I'm telling you, he's just out there in his sandals walking on the water. And you know, I've always thought, did he get his sandals all soaky and all nasty? Because, you know, I'm thinking not. I don't think that there was any water being absorbed up into his sandals. Are y'all with me? And Peter goes, you tell me to come out there with you. And man, Jesus says, come on down. I don't think he actually said come on down, because that's a Price is Right thing, isn't it? Price is Right. He said come. And it says, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't read the rest of it. I just want to stop right there. I mean, Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water. And I'll just tell you what happened. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked at the big storm that was all raging and the waves and the wind and everything, and he got a little nervous. And he goes, I'm not supposed to be able to do this. And immediately, whenever you start doubting, he starts sinking. Cries out for Jesus. Jesus rescues him and goes over, phew, man, got to do everything. Pulls him up out of the water. Takes him back to the boat, and he chastises him. He goes, oh, man, you have little faith. But this is it. Peter got out of the boat, and Peter walked on water. This morning, I'm telling you that in all of our lives, we got to become more daring with the word that the Lord gives us. We got to be men and women and young people that we say, man, I believe your word, Lord. Abraham believed his word. He was accounted to him as righteousness. And indeed, his word was fulfilled in the life and times of Abraham, because what God promises, he will deliver. But I'm going to tell you this. You and I are not going to be recipients of the promises of Almighty God because you and I look good when we come to church on Sunday mornings. We're not going to be recipients of these promises of God because you and I attend the right church. We have the right denomination over our name. Are y'all with me? We're not going to be recipients of this amazing promises that he's put in this word because you and I have the right kind of education. Are y'all there? Maybe we've married into the right family. We got the right money. Maybe we've got the right amount of talent. It's not going to happen. You and I, if we're going to receive anything that this book promises us, it is going to be because we simply believe it. Let me just tell you something. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I am born again. There is a home that has been prepared for me in heaven. Jesus has gone ahead of me and he's built me a house in heaven, because in my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. I am a resident of heaven and a resident of South Skeena. Yeah. And you go, well, why are you telling me all this? Same reason God changed Abram's name to Abraham. You don't ever tell yourself you're saved, you're probably not going to be saved for very long. Come on. I want to read you Romans, and I'm going to ask Jared to come and help me close. I'm going to read you Romans chapter 4, verse 17 one more time, but out of a different translation, because, man, this one just kind of gets it right where it's at. Listen to it. This is Romans 4, 17. We've read it twice. That is what the scriptures mean when they say that God made Abram the father of many nations. God will accept all people in every nation who trust God as Abraham did. And this promise is from God himself, who makes the dead to live and speaks of the future events. Listen to this. He makes the dead to live and he speaks of future events with as much certainty as though they were already past. Are y'all there with me? God speaks to future things with as much certainty as if those things had already passed. Let me give you an example. I'm not going to die bald. Whenever you guys come and visit me, I'm laying there in my casket, I want you guys to remember, that is one of the hairiest heads I have ever seen in my life. Baldness is just not something that runs in my family. I don't know, it all might fall out here before very long, but it's seeming to stick pretty good now. See, whenever you guys come to my funeral, and I expect you all to be there, unless you've gone before me, and then I will hold no grudges if you don't attend. But see, you could say, he didn't die bald. Look how much hair he's got. Because I spoke about future things like it had already happened. Yeah? See, early on in my children's lives, these are some of the things I confessed over them. I said to them, you will grow up and you will serve God. You will not have wayward years. You will not sow wild oats. You will stay affixed to Him throughout your whole life. Some things I spoke over them. Y'all there? But you have to speak it with a certainty. You know, and there would always be people say, you can't say that over your kids because they're going to grow up, they're going to have their own way, they're going to go their own way. You can't control them. And there'd always be this little inkling of, you know, doubt would sometimes supersede my faith. So thus far in their lives, every one of them have grown up to serve God. Doesn't mean that they're perfect, like their father, but... I'm so sorry I just said that. Because all of you know that's so far from the truth. But it just means that you and I got to begin to speak it as though it's already happened. I am healed. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am saved. I am delivered. I am successful in all things that I put my hand to. You see, that's His Word. I've just identified so many of the promises of God in His Word. But you and I got to begin to speak that way. We got to speak with the same certainty about things that haven't happened as we would speak about things that have happened. See, I love my brother Mark Albrecht, but this is what I will tell you. He's going to die bald. Unless he gets some fancy schmancy hair transplant thing. Probably have to borrow some hair from Debbie. I don't even know if that's possible. Do that medically. But see, we've got to speak with the same certainty about things to come as the things that have already passed. So if you've gotten a sure word, take it implicitly. This is a word from God. Why do you believe it? Because God said it. I believe it. You gotta trust it absolutely. That word, you've got to take it and say, God, I absolutely, bottom line, beyond a shadow of doubt, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Remember, it's not just a sure word that you have, but it is Him that speaks that word to you that you actually have. Are y'all with me? See, that's the reason Sarah believed, because Sarah had to come along on this train too. The Bible tells us that Sarah believed because of whom it was that had spoken the word. If Abraham would have came in and said, hey, we're going to have a kid. We're going to have a kid. How do you know? I just know. Sarah would have went, bah humbug. Get away. But Abraham came in and said, hey, we're going to have a kid because God said we're going to have a kid. Now, there was a couple other things that were all thrown in there. But ultimately, Sarah believed because of who it was that spoke the word. You and I got to be the same way. We've got to believe more than just the word. We've got to believe that it is He who speaks that word. And this is the promise that is from God himself, who makes the dead to live again and speaks of future events with as much certainty as those that have already passed. This morning, we got to be people who dare to trust him.